Romans chapter 12, we're looking at the last spiritual gift. On this series of the Holy Spirit for, well, I don't know, I said to someone the other day, probably 18 months, I guess it has been, with lots of interruptions. But here we're looking tonight at the last of the spiritual gifts, been teaching on the spiritual gifts, the permanent spiritual gifts. And we come tonight to the gift of mercy. And probably preach one more message next Sunday evening to finish off the series. So Romans chapter 12. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. And we'll read down through verse 8. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We just need to remember that, folks, that we all have different spiritual gifts. Don't be critical of other people because they don't do what you do or you can't do what they do. It just may be that they have a different spiritual gift and you have a different spiritual gift. And we all just need to be focused on our own spiritual gift or gifts and just exercise those spiritual gifts and not be too interested in everybody else's. Let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Let me read verse 16. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, here it is, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let's praise us, Lord, to help us. Again, Heavenly Father, I sure do need your help tonight, Lord. I'm tired physically, and Lord, my mind's tired. And Father, I just ask that you'd help me, Father, be able to teach with clarity. Pray the Holy Spirit would just enable me and help me. And my God, I just ask that it would be a blessing to the people that are listening, sitting before me, online, different things. Lord, we just need your help. We need the enabling of the Holy Spirit. We pray for fresh unction, fresh anointing. And Lord, we just ask and pray, dear God, would you please help me? But then also please help each and every soul that's here. And Father, we just pray there'd be time well spent in the Word of God. And help us, Lord, have a deeper and better understanding of this gift of mercy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking now at the gift of mercy. I've spoken to a number of different people about this gift over the last couple of weeks. I was with a couple of preachers the other day and we're having lunch, and I looked at them and I said, tell me everything you know about the gift of mercy. Well, they kind of rambled on a little bit, and you know. And I said, all I can tell you about the gift of mercy is I don't have it, and that's about all I know about it. But I need to do better than that, don't I? That's my job. So here we go. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy. Mercy is undeserved aid. It is to have compassion. It is to give clemency. Noah Webster, in his 28 or something like that, dictionary, I'll give you four definitions that he gives. Number one, this is about mercy. Forbearance to inflict harm under circumstances of provocation when one has the power to inflict it. Compassionate treatment of an offender or adversary. It speaks of clemency. compassionate treatment of the unfortunate and helpless. It speaks of benevolence. It's a disposition to exercise compassion or favour. It speaks of pity. It's been said that mercy is a willingness to spare or to help. It's also been said that misery is the object of mercy. Now, as we begin and as we start looking at this gift of mercy, we need to first of all recognize that God is the source and example of all this. Would you take your Bibles and turn them to 2 Corinthians chapter 1? We'll have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we need to remember that when we're looking at this spiritual gift of mercy, that different individuals have the unique ability to show mercy. And I'm glad that God showed me mercy. I'm glad that He continues to show me mercy. And notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 3 down through about verse 6 or 7. We'll stop down there somewhere. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. You see, He's the source of all mercies. But then it goes on and explains and expounds on His example of mercy. And it also expounds on what mercy is. And you'll see some words. I want you to notice the word comfort, comforteth, consolation, and comforted. You'll see this all through this reading. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. You see, to show mercy is to give comfort. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. You see that God there is the Father of mercies. We see there that He's the God of all comfort. And we see in verse 4 that He comforteth us. For what purpose? Simply that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted of God. So as God comforts us, as God shows us mercy, as God extends mercy to us, and comforts us in our time of affliction, our time of trouble, our time of need, so we can take that same mercy and extend it to somebody else and give them some comfort and in their time of affliction and trouble. Let me make this statement. So we've acknowledged that God is the source and example of all mercy, but I want you to know that the gift of mercy is different to the general command to Christians to be merciful. Go with me to Luke chapter 6. We've all been commanded to be merciful. So, you know, just because you don't have the gift of mercy doesn't mean you have, oh, well, that's an out for me. I don't have to be merciful. I don't have the gift of mercy. No, that's not true. We've all been commanded to be merciful. But the gift of mercy is different to the general command of being merciful one to another. Luke chapter 6, verse 31 through 36. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies. Notice verse 35 and 36. But love ye your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind. Notice this statement. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. We've all been commanded to be merciful, and God has set us the example of mercy. In fact, it says there in verse 35 that he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? I can be kind if you're going to be nice. It's not hard. You be nice to me, I'll be kind to you. You rub my back, I'll rub your back. But Christianity and the Lord Jesus takes the whole lot further. And our example and what we're told to do is to be merciful even to them that are evil. To be merciful to them who are unthankful, just as God is. We're not supposed to lend and give so we get something in return. We're supposed to lend and to give expecting nothing in return, just because of mercy, just being kind. And we've all been commanded to be kind. We've all been commanded to be merciful. But what I'm saying to you is that's just a general command to be merciful. In fact, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." It's a good thing to be merciful. You reap what you sow. You're merciful. You'll get mercy in return. There's a general command to be merciful. There's a general command to be kind. But some people within the body of Christ have been endowed, have the unique ability to show mercy more than others. And I jokingly said it to you, I don't believe I have the gift of mercy. I have the gift of give you a straw and tell you to suck it up and move on. You know, that's just my personality. That's who I am. I don't have the gift of mercy. But that doesn't disqualify me from being merciful. But I find it difficult to show mercy. Why? Because I'm a critic. I'm cynical. I'm like, well, what stupid decision did you make to get there? You know, that's me. You can sit there and be critical of that. That's just who I am. That's how God made me. Right? But I'm still supposed to be merciful. So I can stand and say, I don't think I have the gift of mercy, but I marvel at watching people that have the gift of mercy. I'm like, how do you do that? I think it's great. It's fantastic. And the gift of mercy is invaluable in the local church. It's a must. Thank God for Him giving people the gift of mercy. The spiritual gift of mercy, as I said, is different than the general command to be merciful. The spiritual gift of mercy is the unique capacity to show mercy to the undeserving. And the spiritual gift of mercy is of great importance and value in the operation of the local church. Boy, it'd be a miserable place to be in a local church where no one knew how to show mercy. Oh, thank God that some of you no doubt have the gift of being able to show mercy. The gift of mercy will be evident in this. Let me give you a few words. The gift of mercy will be evident in the ability to have sympathy, understanding, compassion, patience, and sensitivity. Let me give it to you again. Sympathy, understanding, compassion, patience, and sensitivity. This person, this individual that has the gift of ministry, a gift of mercy, their ministry will be to the bereaved, the grieving. Their ministry will be to the sick, perhaps to the anxious, perhaps to the depressed, the poor, the widow, the orphan, and anyone else in a state or time of need. Now, there's no doubt we all have the ability to be merciful. God wouldn't command us to be merciful if the Holy Ghost couldn't enable us to be merciful. And if we've experienced the mercy of God, surely we know what it is to extend mercy. Right? But thank God for those that have a unique spiritual ability to show mercy. Let me give you two examples I believe that are in the scriptures. Go into Acts chapter 9. The first one is a lady by the name of Tabitha. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 through 39. We'll read these couple of verses and we'll see an example of most likely a lady in the New Testament that had the gift. You didn't like that page in the scriptures there, Bob? You're just going to rip that out? All right, Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Acts 9, verse 36, we're looking at Tabitha. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Notice this statement, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. That word alms deeds speaks of the acts of mercy. She was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And notice this, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas or Tabitha had made while she was with them. Here's Tabitha, Dorcas. She was full of good works, full of alms deeds which she'd done. She died. They'd wrapped her and they'd put her in an upper chamber. They called for Peter to come. When Peter got there, he found a group of widows standing around weeping and grieving the death of Tabitha, and they were all holding examples of her mercy. They were all holding and showing Peter all the garments that she'd made and all the special things that she had done for them and how she had been a blessing to them. Do you see the mercy that she had showed the widows? She had the ability to show mercy. I think Tabitha's a good example. Another one, he's a gentleman by the name of Onesiphorus. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Onesiphorus. Interesting name, isn't it? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. Now, Onesiphorus, he ministered to Paul while Paul was in prison. And I want you to notice what Paul said about Onesiphorus. 2 Timothy 1:15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. So a lot of the disciples turned away after Paul was arrested, put in prison, a lot of them left. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Remember, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, right? Remember that verse? And Paul said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Why? For he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he might find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. So Onesiphorus, he wasn't ashamed of Paul. He wasn't ashamed that Paul was in prison. In fact, that didn't bother him one little bit. And he would go and he would refresh Paul, minister to Paul. Perhaps he took him a fresh glass of water. I don't know what he did. But whatever he did, he refreshed him and he was a blessing to him. And he met the needs that Paul had while he was there in prison. Now the gift of mercy, as I said, let me repeat it to you. The gift of mercy is the ability to see and meet the needs of the miserable, the poor, the sick, the afflicted, the destitute, the widow, the orphans. It's the ability to see and meet the need. Now I'd like you to go with me to Luke chapter 10. And here's a really good, I think, illustration of someone that had the gift of mercy. I've got 2 points. That's all introduction. We've got 2 short points and then we're going to be finished. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 37. Remember this account of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10. Let's read it and then we'll come back and say a few things about the verses. Luke 10 and verse 30 through verse 37. Now, to put in context, there were some scribes and Pharisees giving the Lord Jesus a hard time trying to trip him up. And one of them was a lawyer. And he said, what's the great commandment? And he said, well, the great commandment is love God and love your neighbour. And the scribe said, well, you know, because he was willing to justify himself, well, he said, well, who is your neighbour? You know, come on. And so then the Lord Jesus gave this story, this account, to answer the scribe, who your neighbour is, right? So notice verse 30. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. You know, I've read that so many times, but it wasn't until the other day as I was studying this out that I read that, that it actually struck me that it says they left him half dead. That's very descriptive, isn't it? Don't you love your Bible? Left him half dead. Whatever that means. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which, now of these three, thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. So here's this certain man. He's gone down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And apparently, you know, from the road, the track from Jerusalem to Jericho was well known for thieves and robbers to be on that track between Jerusalem and Jericho. Very rocky, windy spot, a lot of hills and different things. Good place, you know, the old westerns. You know, they get in the canyons there with their guns and wait for them to come through. Same sort of deal. That's where the cowboys got it from. Here in Luke chapter 10, Jericho. I don't know. You reckon that's a stretch? Could be a stretch. I'm trying to make it picturesque, trying to get you to see the picture here. So they jump upon this fella, they stripped him of his raiment, they wounded him, they left him, they left him there half dead on the side of the road. These thieves. Then by chance it says there in verse 31, there came a certain priest. He came by, he saw him, he crossed over the other side of the road. So here he is, I don't know if he's in his chariot or if he's walking or he's on his donkey or what he is, but he's a priest on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and as he's coming along the way, he sees the man on the side of the road and he's like, we'll just go this way, we'll go around him and we'll keep going, I'm too busy. Right? A little bit later on, there's a Levite comes. He's coming along. This man, he's half dead. Half dead. Stripped, beaten, wounded. Levite sees him. We go around this way. But then there's a Samaritan. Now you've got to understand that the Jews hated the Samaritans. And the Samaritans hated the Jews. They despised each other. But he's a Samaritan. And he's coming down that way, he's passing from Jericho, head down to Jerusalem, heading to Jericho. He comes down and he sees this man half dead. Stripped, wounded, just alive. Let's pick up there, verse 33. And I want you to notice point number one. The individual that has the gift of mercy has the ability to recognize the need. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He saw him, and he had compassion on him. He saw the need, and he was moved with the need. You know, just when it comes to Let's just step back into church life as we're operating as a body, as we're operating as a church. We come in on Sunday, we're looking around, we're mingling with each other, we're interacting with each other. Now, I've got to be honest with you. When I'm here at church, when I'm here on Sunday, I've just got a lot on my mind, got my game face on, got preaching, different people needing me, and I don't see a whole lot, right? But there's other people that are here, no doubt have the gift of mercy, and they see people's different countenance, or they may see someone that, you know, they're struggling today, and they have the ability to see the need. Some of us just don't see. I'm going to say to you, someone with the gift of administration, let's get the job done. Come on, bang, 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 organise. It's not about people necessarily, it's about getting a job done. Organising, bang, bang, bang. Someone with the gift of mercy probably it doesn't always have the gift of administration as well. They're too busy worrying about everybody. Someone with the gift of administration is, come on, move, let's go. Bang, bang, bang. Here, this needs to happen, that needs to happen. We're getting the job done. A prophet, someone with the gift to preach. He's just up preaching. He's got a job to do. His job, he's got a message. Like this morning, that message laid heavy on my heart this morning. It's still heavy on my heart this afternoon. It just laid heavy on me. It's a burden to me. And it grieves me just to think about the message. And it's a burden to carry, okay? Burden to carry. And if you've never preached, you don't understand what I'm saying. But if you're a preacher, you know what I'm saying. To carry a message like that's a burden. And so I've got that on my mind. And I may run over the top of people in a time like that. Someone that's in need. Do you see what I'm saying? Some people just don't see the need. But somebody that has the gift of mercy sees the need. They have the ability to see through it all and see the need. The priest saw, but didn't care. The Levite saw, but didn't care. The good Samaritan saw and cared. You see, there are good people within a church that perhaps just don't see. Should they see? Probably. They probably should work on it a little bit. Should I see? Sure I should. I probably should work on it a little bit. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some people just don't see. These two individuals in our account here, they saw, they just didn't care. There's a difference between seeing and not caring and just not seeing. Do you see the difference? If you see and don't care, there's a real issue. There's not so much of an issue if you just don't see. Perhaps you've got a different spiritual gift. Perhaps your job's something else. You know, the left foot doesn't do what the right hand does. Don't be critical about the left foot. If you've got the gift of mercy, as the pastor, you hear all sorts of things. I'm not talking about something that's happened recently, just over the years. You know, you hear, you know, I'm not merciful enough, the church isn't merciful enough, all this sort of stuff. But, you know, it probably comes from somebody that perhaps does have the gift of mercy. And then they're critical of everyone that's not merciful. But if we're all merciful, we'd all just sit around with a bunch of tissues, crying, and no one handing out any straws, no one getting anything done, and we just all sit around like a bunch of sooks in a fetal position, comforting one another, when from time to time you need a preacher to get up and say, here's a straw, suck it up and move down the road. Right? That we all got different gifts. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm trying to illustrate here? The person with the spiritual gift of mercy has the unique spiritual ability to recognize the need, to see the need, and to be moved by the need. Point number two, not only recognize, point number one is to recognize, the ability to recognize. Point number two is the ability to reach out. They can recognize, And then they can reach out. Notice verse 34. So the end of verse 33 says he had compassion on him. Notice what verse 34 says. And he went to him. He reached out to him. He went to him. And bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. That's like putting ointment and medicine on. And set him on his own beast. That means he walked the rest of the way. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then down through there, he gave him 2 pence. The next day he got up, he said, if you spend whatever else you spend, just put it on my account. I'll pay it next time I'm through town. He didn't just recognise the need. He reached out and met the need. Now here's me. And I'm just using me as an example, and I'm just putting myself out there, and you can criticise me or whatever you want to do. But here's the deal. There's sometimes I don't see. I'm busy. Just don't see. There's other times I see, I just don't know what to do. Now, but you're the pastor, you should know. I'm not Jesus. I'm not perfect. I'm not different to you. I have my limitations. And you know, there's some circumstance, I just don't know how to respond to that. But someone with the gift of mercy not only recognises the need, but they know how to, notice what it says, went to him. Went to him, not only that, bound up his wounds. Pouring in ointment and wine. You know that pouring in of oil and wine? It's like that. They know the right thing to say. I just don't know what to say. Sometimes I just... Well, have you thought about getting a job? You know, I'm just not very tactful sometimes. You know, I just struggle. But someone with the gift of mercy, they just know how to navigate through all this stuff. And thank God for those individuals who have that gift of mercy, that they just know the words to pour in. They just know what needs to be said. They have the ability to get up alongside somebody and just put the arm around them. Just sympathise. Remember those words I gave you before? Let me read them to you again. Sympathy, understanding, compassion, patience, sensitivity. You know, there's nothing sensitive about having a pocket full of straws, okay? Sensitivity, patience, understanding. Thank God for those that have the ability not only to recognise but to reach out, say what needs to be said, know what needs to be said, know what needs to be done, and operate in that situation. You see, he went to him, he treated him, he carried him, he took care of him, he paid for him. Notice verse 37. So verse 36, the Lord Jesus says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that what? Showed mercy on him. The gift that we're looking at is he that showeth mercy. The gift of mercy. Some just know how to show mercy. I feel merciful. There's a difference between feeling mercy and feeling merciful and being able to show mercy. I can have compassion and I can be moved with compassion. And I can be merciful in that sense. But I don't think that I have the spiritual gift of showing mercy. You see, you might be a merciful person, you just don't know how to show it. Go back to Romans, we're finished here. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Read the verse carefully. Romans 12 and verse 8. It doesn't say he that is merciful. It says he that showeth mercy. Some people have the unique ability to show, demonstrate mercy. Just because someone doesn't have the spiritual gift of demonstrating and showing mercy doesn't mean they're not a merciful person. They just have the unique ability to be able to show and demonstrate mercy. Do you see that? The Good Samaritan, he had the ability to recognize the need, but then he also had the ability to reach out and meet the need. So in closing, the gift of mercy is more than just human kindness, because we all ought to have the capacity of human kindness. It's more than just human kindness. It's the divine ability to see a need, to sympathize with the need, and then meet the need. It's the divine ability to put an arm around the shoulder and comfort and console somebody in need. Thank God for people with the gift of mercy. Aren't you glad that people have the gift of mercy? I'm thankful for that. That's a real blessing. And, you know, the local church is just in such need of people with that gift of mercy, because we all go through periods that we need mercy shown to us. Go through a rough patch, maybe go through a family situation, you go through a financial situation, go through a health situation, whatever it may be that you go through, and you need somebody that has the ability to just get alongside you, put an arm around you, recognise your need, and then have the ability to reach out and meet the need and just help you through. Praise God, isn't it good? You know, that's what's so important about the local church, because we all have these different spiritual gifts, and therefore we're all able to meet different needs at different times in each other's lives. Because the whole point of spiritual gifts is for the exhortation of the local church. It's what the spiritual gifts are for. It's to exhort the local church. Right, let's close in a word of prayer and we'll be finished this evening. Heavenly Father, we just ask and pray you'd bless the word tonight. Please help us, we pray. Lord, be with us throughout the week. Watch over us, guide and direct us, and minister grace where it's needed. Help us, Lord, to be the children of God we ought to be throughout the week. We ask your blessing upon us, Father. We need your blessing. We look for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.